I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, what about retiring? We ask whether older Americans who are out of work might be better off retiring than continuing to pound the pavement. We'll talk to our money coach about that in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to go back to the fall of 2002. People began to die, and nobody knew why. Vacuuming out a minivan, loading groceries into a car, pumping gas. Just a year after the September 11th terrorist attacks and the anthrax-filled letters, the randomness was terrifying. Who would do such a thing, and why? By the end of October, there was an answer to the first question. John Allen Muhammad, with his young accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, were arrested in connection with the random killings of 15 people, 10 of them in the Washington, D.C. area. Seven more people were believed to have been injured by them. Tonight at 9 p.m., John Allen Muhammad is scheduled to be executed by lethal injection for the murder of one victim, Dean Harold Myers. Michael Ruane has covered the story for The Washington Post since 2002. He co-authored a book about the murders called Sniper, Inside the Hunt for the Killers Who Terrorized the Nation, and he joins us now in our Washington, D.C. studio to talk about all this. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Just for those who don't remember, could you just take us back to those... Take us back to the fall of 2002. How did this all start?
Yeah, it started the evening of October 2nd with a man walking across a supermarket parking lot going to buy some groceries. And there was a gunshot, and he was down and dead in the parking lot. And no one sort of knew what the problem was. And then the next morning, it started in earnest. There were a whole series of shootings, sort of boom, 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 right after one after another that morning.
How did authorities finally put it together? How did they finally catch the two?
Well, they realized by partway through the following morning that there was a serial attack underway. And over the course of time, over the course of the next 3 weeks, enough information leaked out so that they could identify the perpetrators, and they were found in a the parking lot of a rest stop on an interstate in rural Maryland.
I had the opportunity to speak with John Allen Muhammad's ex-wife, Mildred Muhammad, and as I believe you did also, she firmly believes that this was a complex plot for Muhammad to regain custody of their children who he had previously kidnapped. And this was all a way to create this sort of smokescreen so that he could then not only reclaim the children from whom he'd lost custody, but also be a hero in the process. Do you think that's
yes,
true?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these two people were at war to the death with each other. He had threatened to kill her when they lived in Tacoma. He told her, "You will never raise my children." You know, she got custody of the kids in the beginning. He took them away from her. The authorities discovered him in Bellingham, Washington, took the children back. And I think that what brought him here was his discovery that she was somewhere in this area.
I asked Mildred Muhammad her opinion of the sentence meted out to John Allen Muhammad. This is what she said. Mrs. Muhammad, forgive me. John Muhammad is currently scheduled to be executed on November 10th. His accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, is sentenced to life without parole. Do you have an opinion about those sentences?
No.
Wow.
Obviously, this is the father of her children, so perhaps her feelings about this are rather complex. But what about the other victims? I know you've had the opportunity to speak with the families of many of the victims. What is their view about what's happened to and what's scheduled to take place today?
It varies. Some people don't want to talk about it anymore. One man who I knew pretty well, whose wife was killed, practically hung up and said, "You know, I've moved on. I've remarried. I'm not involved in it anymore." Other people are interested in seeing him die. They want to be there. They want to watch it. There's a little sort of flavor of vengeance or retribution about their attitudes. And other people are just interested in justice. Dean Myers' family is, you know, wants to be there out of loyalty to him. They feel they owe it to him. They went to the trial and they've been there every step of the way. And it's just sort of a sense of justice and loyalty.
What about the young man, Lee Boyd Malvo? He's 24 now. He'll spend the rest of his life in maximum security prison, barring some extraordinary circumstance. And of course, there's now some discussion in the Supreme Court about whether, I mean, of course, these were capital offenses, so that's a different issue. But there is some discussion now about people who commit these kinds of heinous crimes as juveniles, whether there should be some consideration. But that's a whole other conversation. But what is he up to now? Does he, Where is he on understanding or what happened and why he got caught up in all that?
You know, I don't know exactly where he is. I know that, you know, he it's my understanding he has taken some responsibility and has some remorse and realizes that, you know, what he did. But I really don't know, you know, kind of where he stands on that.
And finally, I want to ask about the toll of covering a crime like this for such a long period of time. And I'd like to ask if you think it had an effect on you.
I don't know. I've been in the business a long time. I've covered a lot of horrible stuff. It's part of our job. You know, we know how to do it. You're always glad that you're sitting on the other side of the coffee table.
Michael Ruane is a Washington Post staff writer. He's author of the book Sniper, Inside the Hunt for the Killers Who Terrorized a Nation. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.